morning. How are y'all? Good. Good to see you. Good to be together. And hello to everyone watching online and in the communion venue as well. My name is Anna Cowper-Smith. I'm the worship pastor here at Faithbridge, which means that I get to lead our team as we plan and prepare to step into worship every Sunday. And don't we have an amazing team? Yes. But you know, I never expected to be in this role. See, there's different kinds of musicians. There's those who grew up doing music, and so by the time they're my age, they've written lots of songs, probably play several instruments, and feel right at home on a stage. We'd probably put people like Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber in that category, right? But we actually have some phenomenal people on our team here who I think fit into this category as well. And I probably would put Lizzie Bailey in that category, right? Yes! She is incredible. And I am so honored to step into the role that she has done and led us in so well. But then there's the other category of musicians, and that's the one that I fit into. See, they're the musicians that just kind of found themselves doing music. For me, the only instrument that I play is my voice. I know very little about songwriting and much less about music theory, really, and I have to rely a ton on the team in order to do what we do every Sunday. I also didn't grow up in the U.S., so church in America is kind of foreign to me. My parents are Mexican through and through, and I definitely identify with a Hispanic culture. But deeper than that, my parents both come from broken homes. Although they know and love the Lord, they still carry a story that caused their identities to be a little shaky, which meant that I grew up with a bit of a shaky sense of self as well. When I was a little girl, my parents felt called to be missionaries to Nepal. It's a small country in Asia. So we packed our bags, moved halfway across the world, but there was a civil war going on during that time. Those were really tough times. And I know that it's normal for kids of a certain age to not want to fall asleep by themselves in their room. But I remember being so afraid of falling asleep by myself in my room because I could hear bombs going off. And I remember telling my parents that I was so scared because I didn't want to die by myself in a room away from them. Really tough times. The Maoists were trying to take over the country, and so they would hold protests and shut the city down. Oftentimes, we'd be left without electricity or running water. And there was a season where the army was sent out to patrol the streets, and they were ordered to shoot and kill anybody that left their homes. Really tough times. But in Nepal, unfortunately, at least in those times, women were also not often respected. And so I grew up wondering about my worth as a woman. All of these experiences left a mark. It was a chaotic time full of fear. And so when I was asked to step into the role of worship pastor, I really wrestled. I wrestled because I thought of my story. I thought of everything that I'd lived through. And I wrestled with my unlikeliness. Turns out it's something that we do as humans often. It's called the path to action. You may have heard of it from the book Crucial Conversations. Let me show you how it works. We see and hear something. And before we even feel something or do anything about it, we tell ourselves a story. For me, I was telling myself a story of how unlikely I am. And wondering whether I could actually do this. So when Pastor Ken and Lizzie invited me to step into the role, I prayed and I prayed, and I wish I could tell you that I heard a loud, audible voice from heaven saying, "Do it." But I didn't. No, instead I heard God whisper an invitation. He was inviting me to be a spiritual mother. A spiritual mother who, much like an earthly mother, would love God's people by challenging them and encouraging them to to be filled with identity and purpose. Well, much like me, hundreds of years ago, there was a woman who God invited to be part of his story. And she wrestled with her story as well. And she too was called to be a mother, except that she was called to be a literal mother who would carry a child and give birth. Her name is Mary. And we meet her when the angel Gabriel delivers a very special message. We're going to turn together to Luke 1, and our ushers are going to come up. Please raise your hand if you would like a Bible. They'd be happy to give that to you. And this is our gift to you. We want to make sure that you have God's word. Luke 1, verses 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now, there are many traditions that see Mary as being worthy of being revered right along with Jesus. But this text actually shows us that she's very much human. In fact, Pope Leo recently instructed Catholics to no longer call Mary co-redeemer of the world. And here we see her humanity in how she responds. You see, Mary saw and heard the angel, but then she did what many of us do. She told herself a story. She told herself the story of her unlikeliness. And what was this story? Well, Mary was living in a patriarchal society where women were not highly regarded. She was also from Nazareth, which meant that she was probably poor and of lower social status. But she was also young. Women in those days were betrothed between the ages of 12 and 16. So she was likely a teenager or younger. That's like Lindsay Lohan in the movie The Parent Trap. You know that one? Or Millie Bobby Brown when the show Stranger Things first came out. Great actresses, right? We can agree on that. But would you pick one of them to be the mother of God's only son? I don't know, right? And yet, God was inviting Mary to step into his story. The angel tells her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary responds with fear. Turns out we humans do this all the time. In fact, therapists have come up with an interesting phrase for it. They say that our brains would rather accept a familiar hell than embrace an unfamiliar heaven. And yet here is heaven telling Mary that she is favored, but she struggles to believe it. Why? Because she's believed a different story about herself. The story that's been told about her. The story that she's told about herself. So the angel reinforces the message. He tells her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, it's possible that this second time around, Mary starts to believe it, but then the angel says something that just doesn't fit. He says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Hold on. Are you sure, Angel Gabriel? Didn't you realize that she's an unmarried virgin? Now, people back then didn't have all the technology that you and I do today, but they still knew how babies are made, right? But even more than that, becoming pregnant out of wedlock would be a huge risk for Mary. She could lose Joseph. She could lose her family. She could lose her very life. In those times, women who became pregnant out of wedlock would often be stoned to death. So Mary asked the angel a valid question: how will this be? And here, friends, here is where the story starts to shift. Because the angel doesn't tell Mary how she will do it. He tells her how God will do it. See, up until this moment, Mary was basing her feelings, her actions, on the story that she was telling herself about herself. But now, God was inviting her to step into his story and to focus not on her feelings, what she could do, but on what God can do. God was inviting Mary to step outside of her own story and to enter into the story that he was writing for humanity. You know, there's a lot of talk nowadays about taking hold of your life and writing the story you want for yourself. And there's a formula for success according to the world, right? Be the richest, loudest, strongest, smartest, most attractive, most interesting person in the room. But with it comes intense pressure to perform. And so we start telling ourselves all sorts of stories about ourselves. Some in line with reality, and some not so much. I can't think of a better example of this than social media. We literally post stories, snippets of our life, to try to paint a picture of who we are. And those stories, they can start to define us. But when we build our identity on a faulty foundation, what happens? It crumbles. It crumbles. I remember in my 20s, I wanted to look like I had it all figured out. I graduated from college with highest honors. I married the most handsome man. I had an awesome job. And on social media, I looked pretty set. But really, I was struggling with a huge identity crisis. I had no idea who I was. No idea. And I remember getting so fed up with the feelings of insecurity that I started crying out to God. And I told him, God, tell me who I am. And God said, no. Ask me who I am. And so I did. I started to regularly ask him, God, who are you? And I began to realize that God is holy and powerful. And yet at the same time, he is merciful. And he'd been so faithful to me all throughout my life. And realizing that began to fill me with so much security. It began to shape my identity. It reminds me of what A.W. Tozer says. He said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The most important thing about us. Mary stopped thinking about her own story, and instead, she chose to step into God's story. And she'd been hearing stories about God her whole life. As a Jewish girl, she would have grown up hearing how God created everything, about how he blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child despite their old age, about how he'd rescued her people out of Egypt, and he'd been faithful to them time and time again. See, God doesn't need us or our stories to be amazing. God simply invites us to be part of his amazing story. And scripture is full of examples of God using the unlikely. He used Rahab the prostitute to help the Israelites. He used Moses, who was a murderer, who had a stammer, to lead his people out of Egypt. He used David, the shepherd boy, to defeat the giant Goliath. He used Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. He used him to establish the church. And he used Paul, who persecuted and killed Christians. He used him to write most of the New Testament. Theologian Joel B. Green said about Mary, "God has given his favor to one who had no claim to worthy status, raised her up from a position of lowliness, and has chosen her to have a central role in salvation history." As I was praying about these things, it occurred to me that there might be 3 types of unlikely people here today. The undervalued, the self-confident, and the mixed bag. The undervalued are those that society would deem unlikely. They're the ones who identify with Mary's lowly status. If this is you, then hear this. God wants to lift you up. He wants to raise you up. This is who God is. This is his character. He delights in using the humble and the lowly. And Mary chose to believe this. She chose not to believe that she had what it takes or that she could do it. She chose instead to believe that God is just so good that he could use her. And then there's the second type, the self-confident. They're the ones who might think to themselves, of course God would use me. I mean, I'm me. I'm popular, successful, and smart, and very capable. But what they don't realize is that their pride, their sin, makes them unlikely to be used by God, to be chosen by him. But then there's the third type, the mixed bag. And if you're like me, then that's where you fit in. We are complex creatures. And there's times when we tell ourselves stories of our own self-sufficient greatness. And other times where we tell ourselves stories of our worthlessness that lead us to self-loathing. But really, they're both inaccurate views of ourselves. They're inaccurate because they ignore the reality of God. The reality that God created us. He loves us. And yet, apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. A few months before I stepped into the role of worship pastor, I went to a women's conference, and I was wrestling so much with whether I could do this. And I wasn't even supposed to be at this conference. But a worship leader got sick last minute, and so I stepped in. And I remember at the end of one of the sessions, the speaker, it opened up the altar for whoever wanted to come up and pray. And so I went up to pray, just wrestling. And this woman came up to me, and she put her hand on my shoulder. And I had never met this woman before. I have no idea who she is, and I never spoke a single word to her. But she put her hand on my shoulder, and she began to pray, and she said this, "Lord, I ask that you would increase her platform. I ask that you would increase her influence. I ask that you would increase her reach." And I remember everything inside of me just cringed. And I thought to myself, no, 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 no. Don't pray that. And as I tried to reject the blessing that she was speaking over me, I realized something. You see, the Lord has done a deep work in my life. He has healed me. Those things that I lived through in Nepal when I was growing up, He's healed me. And now I look back and I'm grateful for how I got to see Him at work. But even though He's done that for me, I was still holding on to old stories about myself. I was still holding on to that instead of looking to God. If you're like me, then maybe you struggle with pride and with shame. And those are the things that make you unlikely. Well, in the areas where we miss the mark, the good news for us is still the gospel. God loves us. He sent His Son to die on a cross for us so that we would not perish but have eternal life, so that we may believe and step into His story. If you're like me, then maybe you're struggling with both. If so, then the cure is to tell God about it. Confess it. Tell Him. Turn away from your sin and look to Him. Look to God. There is no doubt in my mind that God is calling each and every one of us to step further into His story. He is calling you. He is calling you. Maybe He's calling you to join a small group, to be part of community. Maybe He's calling you to join a serve team, to give of your time. Maybe He's calling you to invite your neighbor to church or to share the gospel with your coworker. Or maybe He's calling you to say no to something. To say no to something that you know will make you look pretty successful from an earthly standpoint, but something you know will leave you empty. But you're too afraid to step into God's story. There is so much talk nowadays about believing in ourselves. Can I let you in on a secret? It's an empty promise. It's an empty promise. Believe in the power of the one who is calling you. Mary had no idea how any of this would work. She didn't know how she would do this, and it came at a great risk for her. But the angel tells her in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Scholars say that this language is very similar to the language used to describe the cloud of God's glory in other parts of Scripture. It's used to describe His powerful presence. And God wanted to share this glory with Mary. I've met people who think that God is a narcissist, hungry for glory. They think that even when we sing to God in worship, that it's because God needs to hear how wonderful and great He is. God doesn't need us to tell Him. He doesn't need us to tell Him. He knows who He is. He doesn't have identity crises like we do. He has always been and always will be. He is the Alpha and Omega. That's why in heaven, what's happening right now, what's happening 24/7 is worship. Because God is worthy. He is powerful. He is great. He is holy. and yet he wants to share his glory with us. He wants to share his glory with us. He wanted to wrap Mary up in his glory, in his presence, so that when she stepped forward every day into his story, she would find in him the courage and the strength that she needed. And God wants to do that for you and I. He wants to wrap us in his glory, in his presence, where we daily find the strength and the courage and the peace that we need to do what he is calling us to do. God is calling us, just like he called Mary, to be part of the salvation story that he is writing here today. But we need to stop listening to the stories that other people have told us about us. We need to stop listening to the story we've told ourselves about ourselves. And we need to look to him. His story, who he is. He is holy and powerful, and he loves us. He loves us. He loves you. And he is calling you to step into his story. Will you say yes? Will you step into his story? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for being who you are. Lord, I thank you for the stories represented here in this room, and how you allow us to come together every Sunday to step into your story and to declare how great and powerful you are. And Lord, I don't know what my brothers and sisters here have gone through, but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that if there are stories of shame and pain, trauma and abuse, or stories of being forgotten, Lord, I pray that you would remind them today that they are loved and that they are seen by you. And I pray, Lord, that you would begin to stir our hearts to say yes, to step in with courage and faith to whatever it is that you're calling us to do. Thank you, God, for being willing to share your glory with us. Thank you. Thank you. May we say yes in Jesus' name. Amen.